Today's topic for Man Up the Podcast is camping. We must warn you that exposure to the outdoors might lead you down the most testosterone path you have ever encountered. You might be forced to do things like chop down a tree, build a fire, or hike through mountains. Doing this leaves a man exposed to dangers like bears, fresh air, and more chest hair than your woman knows what to do with. Please proceed with caution and consult your local forest ranger for best practices. And now, Man Up the Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the madness that is Man Up the Podcast. We are two guys who have been busting brackets for years now. I'm your habitual favorite that gets knocked out early, Weezer Weir. This man with me, our own Cinderella story, Fred Weinfurt. What's up, Fred?
My bracket is destroyed.
Fred, we're eight games into this, and there's literally people out there that have lost two of their final four teams. I just read before we came on, only 4,000 of the 11 million on ESPN are still perfect. We haven't even played eight games yet.
I couldn't believe it. I forgot games were even going yet, like midday, and I looked down and saw a tweet that said only 2.3% of brackets were perfect. And I'm like, whoa, what happened? And Iowa State absolutely screwed the pooch.
Oh, it's been an unbelievable first day. We're recording this on Thursday, so by the time you guys actually hear this, you guys will know every upset that has happened. So we're going to predict the future. But
the future that Kentucky's going to go all the way. But we'll see.
I hope.
At this point.
Last week was bars, Fred. Do we have any hate mail? I feel like there's probably people that hated us talking about bars.
Well, I mean, we did bars kind of in honor of St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And I know I tried to have a car bomb from Saturday all the way to St. Patrick's Day all the way through, at least once a day.
That's very Irish of you. I like that. I only had a couple car bombs this week, one for my birthday, one at about 10 o'clock at night. I couldn't drink any more beer.
Yes.
So that car bomb didn't go down. I didn't say I didn't stop drinking at 10, but I couldn't do any more beer.
Well, I tried to do a car bomb and a shot of Jameson, or a little neat Jameson, just to make sure I felt as much Irish, even though I have not a single ounce of Irish in me.
Oh, it's my day to shine. Saturday was my birthday. Started early, Fred. I had my first beer at 9 with a frozen pizza. Breakfast of champions. Got picked up, went to the parade, because they have a parade for my birthday. That was so nice of the city of St. Louis. 30th birthday, let's have a parade.
Is your favorite color green?
Actually, my favorite color is
red. Is your favorite symbol a shamrock?
It is, ironically.
Wow, is your beard red?
My beard was glowing red. Like, I didn't dye it. It just happened. I can't help it.
Just naturally, the sun just concentrates right on your face.
It's the day to shine, and I had quite a few beers, and that's why I'm glad we're not talking about alcohol this week, because I don't think I could drink any more beer.
No more research for you.
No.
Well, we did get one little piece of hate mail, though.
Oh, always. I mean, I'm sorry to say,
and I'm sorry to say that you are kind of the focus of the hate mail.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So here, it comes from Ellen, Michigan, 206.
Ellen, huh?
Ellen. Quote, all you do is jib-jab back and forth about nothing.
Well, duh, it's a podcast. What do you expect? Do you want us to act things out? This is a podcast. If we don't talk, it's just dead air. That's true.
Weezer drives me crazy. Are you trying to piss me off? I hope you're single.
I am. Hey, I see how it is.
By the way, Weezer, St. Patrick's Day is not on March 14th. It's the 17th.
But there was a St. Patrick's Day parade on the 14th.
Hey, apparently you act like every year your birthday is on St. Patrick's Day, which is always
a parade. There's always green beer to be drunk on my birthday.
You got the you got the worst of the March holidays. You got Pi Day as your birthday.
I did get Pi Day.
Yes.
I can't help it. I'm not a nerd.
And she continues in saying, you are so painful. It could be funny for someone, not me. Wow. Both of you are overgrown children.
You know, Fred, I think this is what it is. I think Ellen has a little crush.
Oh, you think it's like that kid that pulls the pigtails in kindergarten?
I think her man crush Mondays are the manly Mondays that are the Man-O podcast.
Would you like to give Ellen a shout out, Weezer?
Ellen from Helen. No, Michigan. Hey, if I drive you crazy. That's a song, right? You drive me crazy. Yeah. We understand. Hey, and next year, come on down for the 14th, and we'll do up St. Patty's Day parade.
We'll see if we can get her to remember us a year from now.
Yeah, she probably won't. She probably has stopped listening at this point, so this is completely useless.
Oh, I doubt she even started listening, so whatever.
Yeah. But hey, Fred.
Yes.
Weather's getting nice here in St. Louis. What about up there in Seattle? Has the sun made an appearance yet?
It has. It's actually been a pretty good winter. It's been sunny and kind of in the 50s. It's nice.
Well, when the weather starts getting nice here in springtime, there's one thing I love to do.
What do you love to do?
Go camping. And that's this week's topic, camping.
Nice segue. It's very good.
Hey, you know, you gotta work it out.
What kind of camper are you, Weezer?
I'm a guy that likes to sit in the woods and drink beer.
That's it. Yeah. So you have no requirement. As long as you have woods around you.
Yeah.
And or maybe a campfire or a river.
You got to have a campfire. Got to have a place to sit, and you got to have a beer.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now I have to admit. I am an Eagle Scout.
So I feel like this is going to be where we dip. Our two ways of camping are going to be very different here, I have a feeling. Well,
finally, we've actually gotten to a point where both of us are on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not one of those super-duper backpacker guys, because there is a hierarchy when it comes to your ability of camping. You've got the ultra-light backpackers mountain climbers. You've got straight backpackers, and then you go to like car campers.
What are exactly car campers, Fred?
Well, car campers is where you drive into your campsite.
Oh, so okay. I'm a car camper. Yeah. I thought you meant a guy who sleeps in the car. I've been known to do that on one camping trip. I was in no shape to put up a tent. It was too dark. We'll call it dark.
Exactly. Now, you got two different kinds of car campers, though. You have someone who can't stand up in their tent and one who can.
So, what does that mean?
Taj Mahal tents. You've seen those. Rooms.
So it seats 20. I have a friend that has one of those. 20 people. We got a little, drinks on the deck.
But how many people actually sleep in the tent? Just one?
Three.
Oh, fit 20.
Him, his wife, and the dog.
So two and a half, basically. And then below that, you've got RVers, which my dad is. My dad's even an Eagle Scout, but yet he has an RV now, and that's all he does. So, I mean, and that's like, I think RV is the lowest you can get, and actually might call it camping still.
Yeah, maybe. But
maybe.
You know what? I like the RV life, I think. You're out in the woods, but yet you can watch DirecTV.
Well, there's that debate of, do you count it camping if you have electricity?
Yeah, that's a good quote. No, but yes.
So you're not answering the question. Does it count?
No. But if you have a generator?
That's what an RV is. An RV uses a generator.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to say it is camping if you have electricity of some type, because
see, I'm saying BS because that's basically just a movable apartment. RVs have more space than my apartment in Seattle has. Yeah.
Well, maybe you should have got an RV instead of the apartment.
That still costs more than what I'm paying.
All right. I guess you're right. Electricity does kind of ruin it. But how are you going to light up the little – So I'll tell you where I like to go camping, Fred. Well, I have a property down in Cuba, Missouri. And there's a cabin
up there. You have a property?
My family has a property.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Just want to make sure. Just want to clarify.
Well, I mean, I'm part of it, so okay. I can call it mine. So we got a cabin up on a bluff, and then it's right on the Merrimack River. There's a pavilion there where there's a picnic table that you can have lights if you hook up a generator. And it's the perfect spot to play beer pong while you're camping. So
Whoa. It's not camping, though. You have a house. There is no way that a bear can get through that wall and eat your stuff.
We don't stay in the cabin. We put up tents. We camp down by the river.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're still camping. We're still sleeping on the ground.
Okay. Now, I have to say, right now, I'm like between the car campers who sleep in tents you can't stand up with, and I would like to be a backpacker, but I'm as an Eagle Scout, you always have to be prepared. So I bring way too much crap for any situation. It's like I have this big Tupperware bin that's just camping crap.
So that's just bringing your house with you. How's that any different than plugging in something?
Electricity. I don't have electricity. I'm actually cooking on the fire.
We still cook on the fire. We only use the electricity for the lights so we can play beer pong at night.
Use batteries, man. If you've got actually an AC current going from a gas running, I feel like it's even like going against the whole thing. Oh, let's bring my house to the woods. Oh, by the way, let's introduce like pollution to nature. Great. That's barely camping.
Pollution's been here the whole time. Lightning strikes. I don't know. So, Fred, what's your top five things you have to bring when you're camping?
Top five things. You got to have a knife. You got to have strong footwear.
So, like shoes, boots?
Yeah, boots and wool socks. Got to have wool socks.
What if it's summertime? Are you still wearing wool socks?
Yeah, actually, because I don't know if you know this, but you can still get hypothermia at 50 degrees. Wow. So when the sun goes down, you could still get hypothermia. And wool socks stay warm even when they're wet.
Wow. There's some knowledge for you.
Eagle Scout. Yeah. Knowledge. All right.
So we got a knife and socks. This is so exciting so far.
I swear, it's like Forrest Gump. It's like Forrest Gump. That was Lieutenant Dan advice to Forrest Gump. When we got to Vietnam. It was like, change your socks. Always change your socks. Number three, it's good food.
Yeah.
Got to have good food. And you have to have a cast iron Dutch oven.
Yeah.
You can do so much with a cast iron Dutch oven. And then flashlight, basically.
Flashlight. Wow, there's your five. Here's my five. You got to have a tent. You don't necessarily have a tent, but
you don't need to have a tent.
I've had a buddy who's gone. We go camping twice a year, and he's never had a tent, and he just finds his way into tents. Sometimes only halfway into a tent.
See?
All right, so I'm going to replace tent with a flashlight. I do need a flashlight because I like to wander off in the dark sometimes. you need, like, hot dogs. Just some hot dogs to get you through. You need a lighter.
Okay.
To make fire.
Not necessarily.
Listen, you need a lighter. You need bug spray.
Okay.
And the number one thing you need is beer.
Beer.
Because if you don't have beer, then it's just people sitting in the woods. Right?
I will say I have upgraded my camping experience to always include something of Fireball in my back pocket that I always have to take out and take a couple swigs every once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, basically, camping in Missouri is just drinking in the woods or on the river.
Now, I will say, like me being an Eagle Scout, my experience is completely different than all of the Eagle Scouts out here in Seattle. I don't even compare to these guys. They go and hike Mount Rainier at least three times as Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
And they're mountain climbing. They're like sailing. Like there's a scout troop that has their own wooden, like, double-mast sailboat. Damn. Like a pirate ship, and their troop.
The only thing we had to climb was that hill going up the highway to get to Beaumont. That's the only thing we have.
That's it. It's like, damn, and we're complaining about that hill. We're like, damn this hill, damn it. Yeah, it does not compare to the guys out here. I try and talk to them, and I've got nothing to talk about. They just kick my ass every time. So then how much do you actually prepare for, Weezer? I know your whole goal is to be in the woods drinking beer.
Yeah.
But if shit goes down, are you prepared?
Like, what possibly could go down?
Well, I mean, what possibly could go down is a number of things. Someone could break a bone.
Okay. So,
we have
alcohol to help medicate that person. I'm prepared. We'll have – that's what we like to bust into the harder stuff other than beer.
Just stall it a little quick.
We always have a sports utility vehicle ready. just in case. Yeah. Well, you know, I got food. I like to bring firewood. I'll bring extra firewood just in case the wood's wet. I'll bring a hatchet to cut down a tree. I've cut down some dead trees before.
Good for you.
Other than that, my friends are a lot more prepared than I am. I was like, oh, that was a good idea. I should have brought that. Oh, man, I wish I would have brought that.
Now, when you're saying wish I would have brought it, like things that they brought that were for fun?
No, like
emergency stuff.
Like toilet paper. And
okay, okay.
Because, you know, you don't want to go reaching around for leaves and grab the wrong kind of leaves, if you know what I mean, Fred.
Do you know what poison ivy looks like?
Is it, if it's green, let it be or something like that?
I don't know how to tell you, but most leaves are green, Weezer.
If it's shades of three, let it be. Is this a Beatles song? Am I singing the Beatles here? Let it be. Let it be.
Okay, just for our listeners, poison ivy usually has a red stick, and it's covered in fuzz with three leaves that have prongs.
Are you describing poison ivy or my beard?
Both. So do you have like emergency stuff you bring with you, like do you care about bears at all, or like animals or anything like that?
We camp in Missouri. We'll put stuff away for raccoons. There's not really much, like, to be honest, Fred. We go camping on a private property, or we go camping at a campsite where the thing you really have to worry about is not getting to sleep because it's rowdy all night. Have you ever been to like one of those campsites?
Yes. Yes, it's annoying.
Yeah.
So not even like coyotes. You don't even care about coyotes.
We don't really have that many here. There was a report of a mountain lion in the area where we go camping. But for that sake, we just keep our food up on the little pavilion I was talking about. So
have you ever camped in bear country?
No.
No?
My dad says it's Bigfoot country, but my dad's kind of crazy.
Washington and Oregon are Bigfoot country. Just know that.
Yeah.
It gets dangerous out here. That damn Sasquatch walking around.
My dad swear he saw him down in Cuba one time. So
Cuba? Missouri?
Yeah, that's where we camp, Fred. And Bigfoot is off.
There's no Sasquatch down there.
Wow. You look it up, Fred.
There's no squash down there. I promise you that.
You never know.
If you camped in bear country, do you know what to do?
Yeah, not camp in bear country.
You're missing some of the best country in the world, like camping in Rocky Mountain National Park.
I'd go there for a day trip. Why would I want to spend the night?
Because it's gorgeous. It's absolutely phenomenal out there.
I'm sure the bed and breakfast is just as nice.
Okay, so then what's the most epic camping trip you've ever been on?
I guess mine's not that epic. Like, the most was a bachelor party. That was the most fun one I ever had. We went camping in one of those sites. We drank all day. We went to, had a concert. We went floating. That's a big thing to do in Missouri. Apparently, that's for those who don't know. It's where you go sit on a river in a canoe or a raft, and you drink beer, and you stop at every little beach, and you hang out with a bunch of people. It's a good time.
Now, I must warn our listeners, though, that if you go floating, be careful if you use a canoe.
Yeah.
Because if you're drunk and you don't know what to do with your hands, you can lose a finger if two canoes come together. I had a friend who did.
I say, Fred, anytime you go floating, go with the raft.
Oh, much
more stable. You can fit two or three coolers and about six people.
Yes.
I go for the raft. That's your man tip of the week. Oh, I don't think that works. Man tips. I think we should drop the man tip. What do you think, Fred?
A little bit. It's a little graphic. But yes, tubing is what they call it, has way less responsibility.
That's not tubing. Tubing is where
tubing.
No, tubing is where you're in a tube on the back of a boat, like like water skiing.
Well, I call it tubing. It's like those big blow up like tires, and you just like wrap it around the cooler and you let it float down the river.
They're big rafts that people come from Cuba from. Cuba the country, not Cuba, Missouri.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They're big they're inflatable, but they fit about eight people. They're not like inner tubes.
Okay, okay. I'm gonna kill you when it comes to the epic camping, though, because like yours is,
you
like
got
nothing.
It. I mean, mine is, I'm telling you, my camping is different from your camping.
Yeah, mine is boundary waters. at the border of Canada and Minnesota. Yeah. Up there they have kind of it's not really, it's like a quilt of lakes. It's like ridiculous how many lakes they have up there.
It is
I couldn't even count it, like a chain of lakes. It's just like there's thousands of lakes on this border. But you go up there and you we camped up there for a week. You float in a canoe all the way up to the border and go camping. And I got hypothermia really bad.
Because you didn't change your socks, did you?
Because I didn't change my socks, yeah. Well, it was the very first day, because as you're going out into the lakes, you have to take these portages and kind of go over a lot of these beaver dams. And our guide that led us to our launch point said, oh, you're going to hit a couple beaver dams. Just go across them. Don't worry about it. Well, the first one we got, my dad's and I get stuck. And I got to get out. And so from the first hour of the trip, my boots were wet.
Yeah.
So for the rest of the trip, it's just sucked. And so like 3 days in, it was rainy. It was cold. It was terrible Minnesota weather in August. And I started apparently talking gibberish. And my dad just threw me in a tent and said, get in there. I mean, we were like at least 100 miles away from like the nearest town.
I've talked gibberish on many camping trips. Different reasons, though.
Yeah, different reasons. This was a scout supervised trip. But fairly epic. It was also when my dad figured out that I wasn't a boy anymore, which I thought was pretty cool. Seriously. He said, he's like, I figured out you're a man now. You're a man. I was like, all right.
That's impressive.
Kind of cool. Well, it was some of these portages. If people don't know, a portage is when you come to a point where you have to get out and walk your canoe along a path to the next lake. Well, I was walking. I was, 15 at the time, and I had 50-pound packs on either side of me walking a mile down this trail in the middle of the woods trying to get to the next lake. And it was like, and then my dad was behind me with a canoe on his shoulder walking a whole mile down this trail. Oh, so, I mean, it was pretty intense. I mean, that's definitely a backpacker's combined with float trip for a full week. It was.
So would you say you're at that point where would you do that again? Or are you trying to come camping with me now where we just sit back and have a fire and drink some beer?
I don't really know if I'd want to do it. It'd have to be it's a lot of preparation.
Yeah.
It's a lot of
planning. That's why mine sounds more, yours sounds a lot cooler, like a great experience. Mine sounds a little more fun, a little less work. No bears.
Right.
No, there is a river. If you want to get wet, there is a river.
I mean, I could go either way. I could definitely go backpacking. If some people wanted to go backpacking, I could definitely do that for a couple days. But I don't know if I'm going to do a full week again.
Yeah.
So, do you have any camping fails?
Yeah. There was the wood was kind of wet one time, and we had to get the fire going. And we're like, let's put a few bricks of charcoal in from the grill, you know, for putting it in. And my buddy, former Marine sniper, decided to put the whole bag of charcoal in. And then I was like, Rich, why did you do that? We have to cook food tomorrow. Now we don't have any charcoal. But we got the fire started.
Hey, could you keep it going the rest of the weekend?
Yeah, it was good. We had to cut down like three more trees to keep it going, though.
Mine's a little bit grosser. I got pink eye in both eyes during a trip. I woke up one morning and they were so crusted over, I couldn't open my eyes at all. So I'd like fumble around to get to the latrine just to get water to wash my eyes out. It was horrible.
That's awesome.
No, it was not. It was horrible.
What I meant was awesome is Piper, our puppy, our number one fan, chiming in on the podcast.
She found her squeak toy. I put it up and apparently she got it.
That's what? At Piper the puppy?
At Piper _ the puppy.
Yes. So, Fred, you told me that using a lighter isn't really the right way.
I didn't say it was the right way.
You didn't say it was.
It was the top five most important things to bring on a trip. You can start a fire without a lighter.
You can, but how much easier is a lighter?
Much easier. Yes.
People always like, because I bring a lighter, sometimes people are like, oh, let's start this the old fashioned way. I was like a real man. You know what? A man created a lighter, so I'm going to use that.
That's true. But there are other ways you can do it with flint and steel.
Yeah, which
that's pretty badass.
Forever.
No, it doesn't. It's if you get the right flint and steel that the sparks are so gorgeous that it's fantastic.
It is cool. It is cool to do, but it's once again too much work for camping.
Yeah, that's true. Too much work.
As we get older, Fred, camping just needs to be that thing. Less work, more fun.
Now, wait, for fire, are you bringing like those pre-doused logs?
No.
Okay.
We only brought charcoal for the grill because like sometimes our fire, we get two fires going and it's easier if we have a bunch of people, we just use a grill. Normally we cook on the fire, but if we have a bunch of people coming, we do have a grill and we're like
a charcoal. Little propane grill?
No, it's a charcoal, little charcoal Weber grill.
Okay.
Yeah. Hence our bricks to start the fire. Only when the wood's wet.
Now, if you've ever been in Scouts, you know that most of us are pyros.
Yes. Just men in general.
Men in general are just pyros.
I would like to say that when we put in the charcoal, I think we put in a whole can of lighter fluid, too.
Yes, you have
to. Scared the crap out of me.
I remember my very first camping with Scouts. It's like burned into my brain. This one guy named Peter unloading a whole bottle of cooking oil into the campfire just to see it get as high as possible. And it's just me and him. And I'm like, what the hell? He was like 6 years older than me. He's just like, watch this. And just unloaded this whole bottle of oil into this thing. I was terrified of him for years to come.
To be honest, fire is the best part of camping.
Fire is the best. Yes. Really good.
You get a really good fire. What's nice about Cuba is there's a gravel barge and you can build a bonfire that's as tall as you want. We built one that was like 20 feet tall. That was fun to watch.
River?
It's like on the barge of the river. It's like a beach, you know?
Oh, gotcha.
So wide open area to have a big fire.
Now, beyond fires, the second best thing when you go camping, beyond beers for you, is food.
Yes.
Your favorite food?
See, I like to get brats. Just brats and cook them right over the fire. Doesn't get much better than a great bratwurst. Of all people, you should agree, right?
Oh, no, I'm German. Of course I agree.
Yeah.
Bratwursts are fantastic. Now, but the ultimate, though, is s'mores, right?
S'more what? S'more brats? Yeah, I'll take some more brats.
No. S'mores. You know s'mores. It's the best part of camping. At the end of the night, you grab the graham crackers, the Hershey chocolate bar, marshmallow, you make that stuff happen.
It is true. The best part. It is. All right, for the marshmallow, how are you a flamer? Or are you just a slightly toaster?
I'm a very meticulous toaster.
Okay.
I don't like the burn.
I've heard you might have been a flamer.
No, I'm not a flamer. I'm not a flamer. I like it toasted very precisely.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there. Just a nice little. I don't want that burnt taste. I just want a nice gooey marshmallow.
That's true. Now, but beyond s'mores, though, my favorite food, I have to say, is we called it garbage in Scouts, but it's basically like a scramble. You get a big cast iron, and then you throw in eggs, throw in meat, throw in anything, bunch of cheese, and then you just let it cook in a cast iron skillet.
It is good. But I've done it differently here, and it's a lot quicker. You take a wet paper bag, right? You get it damp. You line the bottom with bacon. You crack in your eggs. You put in your cheese. Let it sit on the fire for 15 minutes. You got a gooey egg little thing right there.
Wow. Now another way we did it was breakfast pizza. We take the cast iron crock pot, I guess you'd call it, and we'd line it with biscuits, like the biscuits you crack in the can.
Yeah.
And you line that with biscuits, and then you pour – it was at least like 10 eggs scrambled on top of that and then like filled it with cheese and then sprinkled sausage on top of that. And then you let that cook. That's probably one of the best breakfasts I've ever had in Scouts.
Last time we tried to make pancakes and it did not work. We couldn't get it – we had the cast iron skillet and we just couldn't – I don't know. We couldn't get pancakes to work. But
see, you got to have the right thing, though. You can't. It's got to be like the long skillet. It can't be like a pan, though.
I guess. You need like a griddle?
Yeah, you need a griddle. You got to have a good griddle for that. And you have to have a lot of oil on that griddle, too.
It didn't work, and I was with a couple Army Rangers that you thought, come on, you guys should know how to make pancakes. What do they teach in the Army?
They do MREs.
See, I always go camping with people that were in the Marines or the Army, so they know how to do it right. I just have to come and bring beer. That's how you got to do it. All right, Fred. Let's camp out next time. We'll take a break. Man up. Hey, Fred. Is there anywhere on the interwebs where we can find out more about this podcast?
Well, yes, Weezer, there is. ManUpThePodcast.com or on Facebook and Twitter at ManUpThePodcast. And coming soon, Tinder.
Swipe right!
Welcome back to Man Up the Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Man Up the Podcast, and also our website, manupthepodcast.com. I'm Photographer Fred, KOMO at Twitter. This is Real King Weeze.
I'm here.
Real follow King. Us, please.
Somebody's got to follow stuff. Me. Fred's got more followers than I.
Way more. I'm verified, but that's what happens.
Well, I can't help it. You hold a camera for the news, and they give you a blue check mark.
I provide content to the public. I'm important.
Yeah, I know what you had for breakfast this morning. A nice croissant.
I did not, I swear to God.
That was the other day or something.
Yes, it was the other day. So this is part we debate man codes. And this is coming from the famous movie, epic sports movie. Maybe not the best, but hey, it holds a special place in our hearts.
Yeah.
The Replacements.
It's a movie I've never owned, but I've seen over 100 times.
I mean, it's been on TBS at least 3 times a week.
Bet you it's on years. In the next week, too.
Yes, you could find it very quickly. And so we're going to let the Shane Falco take it away.
I know you're tired. I know you're hurting. And I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational. But that just wouldn't be our style. Pain heals. Chicks dig scars. Glory lasts forever.
Glory is forever, Fred. Remember that.
Glory is forever, and chicks dig the scars.
Trust me. Hey, I got the scars to prove it.
Well, yes, you do.
That's my motto. I go all out. So with this here, Fred, how do you apply this law into your life?
I'm married now, so I don't have to apply this at all. I mean, it goes back to the whole bro mentality of go big or go home, I guess.
That's exactly what I did on Saturday for my birthday. And I took it to the point where I was apparently running out into traffic. I was trying to make the traffic stop so everybody I was with could cross. And
hey, that's very kind of you.
I was stopping and I was like, whoa, I run this city.
Did you get hit by a car?
No. But if I did, it would have been all right because broken bones heal, chicks dig scars, but glory is forever. And how glorified would I have been if I stopped traffic with a car?
If somehow you ended up breaking your skull on some hood of a car.
I would have been the man up moment coming up next segment, wouldn't I?
Somehow, if you would have come out of your coma, I don't know if we would have been able to record in time. Now, did this apply when you tore your ACL?
Yeah, because once again, glory. I'm forever known for that moment at this wedding. I meet people that have gone to this wedding like, oh, that was you that left in the ambulance. And like, they all know who I am now. I'm telling you, the glory will live forever. And I can't go to another wedding ever again without somebody bringing up the fact that I hurt myself dancing at a wedding.
Now, but tell me, you hit on the paramedic though, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I mean, hey, she was cute.
She dig it?
She did. She was laughing. We tried
that doesn't mean she dug the hitting and the scars, though.
Well, you know, we tried to give her some drinks. She's like, no, I'll get fired. I was like, all right. But I told her as I got to the ER, I was like, hey, if you guys aren't busy later, I know a party going on.
I'm pretty sure you didn't make it to that party, though.
No, because the hospital was terrible.
Or the fact that you tore your ACL. That takes a little bit of time. It's not just a quick in and out. Oh, I got to go to this after party, by the way. Stitch me up. Come on.
I tried to. I was trying to glory. Glory forever. But Fred,
does this actually apply, though? Is this a real man code that we should be living by?
I think so, yeah. Because You have to be able to take risk. It's basically what he's saying. I know you're tired, and I wish he had something classy to say. I wish I did, but that's not my style either. But it is. You have to go all out, and, you know, sometimes the reward is worth the pain.
Can I admit something?
Yeah.
I've never broken a bone.
I haven't either. I've never broken a bone. I have torn up my entire knee. I got nothing left in there.
That's pretty close to breaking your bone, but so neither of us have broken bones, so the first thing doesn't apply.
No.
Has a girl ever been impressed by your scars?
At first, like, ugh, what is that? And then you they feel bad for you, and yeah, so yes, they have been impressed. Especially when you tell them you're like, I saved a baby.
So you lie. You lie about your scars.
Glorious forever.
Do you feel glory in your life?
It sounds like you should be singing me Take Me to Church.
Clearly, I think this is something that men can live up to.
Yeah.
But most men don't experience, unfortunately.
No.
This might have to be left on the gridiron of The Replacements.
Yes. But speaking of, how great is that movie?
It's a great movie.
Clifford Franklin?
Gene Hackman.
Clifford Franklin might be the best character in that movie.
What about the big sumo guy?
Oh, he's great. Or the Scottish kicker. Those eggs?
Scottish kicker.
Oh, he's wiry. Yeah, he's wiry.
He's wiry.
Hey, Clifford Franklin's like a cold.
And that guy broke his arm when Shane pulled the kick from him. He broke his arm. So he didn't have to pay that bet at the end of the movie.
True. But Clifford Franklin's like a cold.
That's true.
Clifford Franklin's the only one catching it. Clifford Franklin's the only one coming down with it.
Even though he had the worst hands in the NFL.
How about John Favreau in that movie?
That's true. He was a cop that was insane.
Yeah. Give me the ball, Danny. I got you the ball. I got you the ball. All right. Go have a seat. All right. That's been The Replacements. Fred, I have a feeling they're looking for our replacements right now. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back on Man Up, the podcast. Welcome back to Man Up, the podcast. Fred Vinefort, Weezer Weir here. We got our Man Up segment coming up, where we find men who need a man up. Ironically, once again, the name of this podcast, Man Up. So this is where Fred usually tells you about a guy and I tell you about a criminal. So Fred, who's your man up guy this week?
You know, this is really, I'm torn between this one because it makes me sick to look at. But you got to give him some props.
I'm also intrigued.
Well, it's more of he did what a lot of guys wish they could have.
It's like a Dickie, car crash.
Dickie V put a big good luck smooch on Ashley Judd before the Kentucky men's basketball game for the SEC championship. And it is a horrific picture.
Yes.
He is 79 years old.
Dickie V, baby. Get in.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If I had the choice to kiss Ashley Judd at some point, I mean, who's not going to take that? But I
hope Kelly's not listening.
Oh, she's in the room behind me. I promise you, she hears me. I mean, it's just like
Why is this the man up mode? This is the manly mode.
I don't know.
Dickie B just showing game. He's a diaper dandy, baby.
I just can't do it. It's too wrong. So many levels. I wish I could say man up to him.
That's all right. He'll be at Hooters later selling you some wings. If you want to watch Dickie B, go down to Hooters. Well, I guess it's time for my criminal of the week. I should just be a criminal.
That's his new segment.
This guy doesn't have a catchy name like the Brisket Bandit or the Akron Poopertrader. So I have given him one. Yeah, Fred, do you play Grand Theft Auto?
Yes, I do.
You know the pain spray where you can go and change the color of your car if you want to lose the cops?
Yes, yes.
Well, I'm calling this guy the pain spray. His name is
why?
Jose Espinizo. He's from California somewhere. They didn't say. But he stole a car on Monday. And instead of taking it to the spray and pay, he took it and spray paint and spray painted his face as camouflage from the cops. He thought he could hide by spraying his face black.
What? Wait, what? Yeah. Like he walked in and was like, I need spray paint to spray my paint my face so that I don't get recognized from sitting in a stolen car.
It worked at first. He got away, but the guy didn't wash the paint off, and 3 hours later the cops spotted him in the same stolen car with black paint on his face and was later booked. And if you look at the mugshot, he has spray paint, which is very patchy. So Jose, paint spray, the car, not your face. Got it all wrong.
I mean, what was he? Was he thinking like maybe the cameras that he was driving through intersections or something? I mean, I can't imagine.
I really
at some
just
point.
Think he's a dumb guy that thought he was invisible.
Apparently, he didn't know how license plates work,
or the fact that you can still see yourself when you're black.
Okay, what is your manly moment of the week?
Fred, you know who Alex Zanardi is?
I don't.
He is a former IndyCar driver.
Okay.
2001, he was in a horrific crash, lost both of his legs. And he's really, if you don't know, you got to check him out. He's been a huge inspiration over the past 14 years since the thing. He came back from surgery. He was almost dead. They were like saying 20 more seconds of blood loss, he would have been dead.
Wow.
Anyway, a couple years later, he got back into a race car with special hand controls. 2012, he was a gold medal in the Paralympic karting. But anyway, it announced that this coming weekend, he'll be driving in the 24 hours at Spa, which is a Formula One course. So they're going to have a special car where he can drive with his hands, the 24-hour race, which is the endurance. And Spa, if you don't know racing, is the most deadliest racetrack in the world.
Wow.
So he will make his return to racing again in a 24-hour race.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, that's hard to do. I mean, they say racing isn't a sport, but it is serious, serious business.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, racing is the people that drive, especially Formula One IndyCar, they're better athletes than you'll find anywhere else.
Like, yes.
Endurance wise, they camp out with a backpack.
Very true.
Yeah.
My manly moment of the week, I'm going to have to give it to St. Louis's own Nelly.
Oh, hush, ish.
Now, not because he released a new album or he's trying to go over his success of Country Grammar or he's teamed up with another country star to make a stupid song.
Yeah.
But apparently, he went to Kurdistan, Iraq, which is in the middle of the craziest, craziest war against the stupid, stupid group called ISIS.
Yeah.
He went there and performed.
Who do you perform for? ISIS?
he was performing for a charity concert at an annual soccer tournament in the city of Erbil as part of a social welfare nonprofit organization called Ranga Foundation.
Huh.
But apparently they really dig the 90s and early 2000s music right now.
Who doesn't? I listen to all week.
Just now getting over there. Apparently he was the first American artist to perform in the city's 8,000-year-old history.
Wow. That is really impressive.
Yes. We do have to say, though, it wasn't very heavily attended. Probably because most people are fighting a war over there.
Yeah.
And he didn't disclose how much he asked them to pay him either.
Well, knowing I've met Nelly a few times, been to a couple of his concerts. It was a decent amount of change, I think.
Yeah, well,
Long time since Country Grammar.
And Nelly's fallen down that list.
I don't know if
fast.
You've heard any of the later albums and circuit. I think the last good one was Nellyville.
Yes, that was the last good one. Unfortunately, that was. Very long time ago.
But Nelly, we're still cool. I mean, I still respect you. We're still boys.
He's touring, though, now.
Yeah, I can't wait. New Kids on the Block, TLC. What a concert. I'm in.
I can only be at the concert for like half of the time.
For who? New Kids? You're only like for
half,
New Kids.
Half from TLC and Nelly, and that's it. I mean, it's...
You're not it's a New Kids guy?
No, I'm just not.
That's your prerogative, but my prerogative is to be a fan. Donnie Wahlberg and the other guys?
I hope you know my prerogative is not New Kids on the Block. That's Bobby Brown.
I think it is New Kids on the Block. Didn't they have that song?
My prerogative is Bobby Brown.
Let's get an intern on this. What did New Kids on the Block sing?
My prerogative, Bobby Brown. And Britney Spears, apparently.
All right.
Come on.
What was their song?
Oh, we are feverishly typing, trying to find what did they do?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. This is a terrible podcast right now. You know where you won't hear stuff like this? On The Wolf.
I mean, you got the right stuff.
Maybe that's right.
The big one. Yeah.
Wow. My prerogative. Well, that's... you know what? I'm going to head back. I'll be at the concert. I got to go. I got to find out what they do.
Who are these kids? Who are they? Are they good at all?
Jonathan Knight, Jordan Knight. I remember Jordan Knight had a song I liked. I don't know what it was called. It was My Prerogative.
See, I put them on like level of Milli Vanilli. I just can't get behind them.
You know, there's a couple of their songs that I thought I liked, but maybe it's not them. So, but TLC, how do you do that without Lisa Left Eye Lopez anymore?
Now, I guarantee you Nelly comes out into some of that.
Is it just TC now?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know how Waterfalls is going to sound, but whatever. No Scrubs.
Yeah, I don't know either. What a concert. Let's go. You in, Fred?
Maybe. Maybe. Fred's if the price in. Is right. If the price is right.
Hey, it's your prerogative, Bobby Brown. Man, all right. Fred, I'm going to go study up on my New Kids. You go into the woods and drink some beer and tell me how it goes.
I'll try it.
Till next week. That's Fred Weinfurt. I'm Weezer Weir. Look us up on Twitter, Facebook, Tinder, and I don't know, Match.com. This is Man Up the Podcast.